Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Second Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read beginning at verse number 1, several verses. Pray for us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's all we'd like to read. Lord, we pray that you'd anoint your word, reveal yourself in this, and help us, God, to decrease as you increase. We trust in this that you'll draw every heart that's in need. For those that think there are no needs, may we recognize with conviction that all there is need. Hear us as we pray, for we trust you alone as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate the obedience of everybody so far and have done the part that God's given them to do. It's an assurance to me. Brother Steve spoke of it as he was sharing just a second ago, and it just confirmed in my heart the direction that God would have us to go. So I'm going to ask that you'll just pray that we'll be obedient to God. You know, the hardest thing for men to do is to get out of God's way. And that's partly what this message is about. But I want to start with this. The scripture teaches us that faith without works is dead. And as we talk about trust and we talk about the importance of trusting God, then I want to simply remind us that trust is the action, it is the work that is tied directly to faith. If I believe, then I can trust. And so faith is what we do from the heart as we believe God. Trust is the work that we employ when we simply obey God and do what he's bid us to do. There may be somebody here, and I want to give you an opportunity. If you'll slip up your hand, if you don't have anything that troubles you, would you slip your hand up? What about perplexes you? Anybody without any perplexing issue? I didn't think so. What about persecuted? That one we might be a little sensitive to, since we've not known persecution as many have. But cast down? Likely. When we think about the importance of weakness, I want to confess that it flies directly into the face of our culture today. Men are not judged normally on their weakness. They're judged in their strength. Right? We actually don't even look at one another and judge according to the weakness. We judge based on one's strength, their abilities, their aptitudes, their skills, their wisdom, knowledge, all of those things. And in some respect, we begin to lift others higher than some just because their abilities might appear stronger than others. And yet what I find in the scripture is that over and over, the Lord is reminding his people that it's in their weakness that he performs the greatest work. And I find this obviously countercultural. There's nobody in this world that will teach you that. That it is in your weakness that God finds his greatest strength. And so I think it's important to remind us this morning of this scripture. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I've received the gift, and I can assure you that gift is extraordinary in every way, but it's spiritual, right? You can look at me, and you might not perceive the gift at all. I certainly hope that's not the case, but when it comes right down to it, I have a gift, and it's been given me of God, and I am absolutely certain of what it's going to lead to. When I believed in Jesus Christ as a child, simple faith, simply believing that he was the only one that could rescue me, and in asking him, he did so. And redeeming me that day, he placed within me his Holy Spirit that has forever transformed me and has ever been with me since then. What a gift that I received in Christ. But I've also found that being a born-again believer in God does not mean that I live on top of the mountain. It means that I experience that place of victory. I experience that place where there is true peace. I experience the joy of God and the peace in knowing that he abides and he is sovereign and he is in control of all things. But the truth is, the most of my life is lived in the valley. It's lived in the places where we're either coming off that wondrous spiritual high that we've been on, but we're going straight into another trial, another burden, another struggle, another trouble, perplexity, cast down, whatever you want to call it. Most of the Christian's life is lived in a place where we have to learn to trust God. Now, it's no wonder that God does it. Right? By nature, we're conceited and prideful. By nature, we're arrogant and we want to live in our own strengths and we want to stay on the mountain as the king of the hill. We want to be what others would think of us as something grand or awesome or wondrous. But the truth is that none of us truly have that strength within ourselves. The arrogance that abides within man is part of the curse and it breeds the deceit of an evil one. Because the truth is that we're none strong. We're none good. None of us are holy by nature. None of us within ourselves can accomplish anything without God. Jesus was clear to say to his own disciples, "Without me, you can do nothing."
Amen. God bless them.
It's countercultural, right? People don't want to hear that. They want you to pat them on the back and say, "You're doing a great job, Steve. Keep it up. You're on the right track. We respect you. We love what you do." May I say to you today that God works in what's broke.
Yeah.
Because in everything that is whole, you'll find pride. You'll find an arrogance that bounds that success upon one's own ability. May I say to you today, you cannot get to heaven on your own.
Amen.
You cannot. that's ultimately the goal, then where do you think it puts the rest of our lives? If we know that being Christ-like or being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ requires the moving of the Holy Spirit, can we not be honest enough to say that without Christ, I'm lost? I'm lost. People live every day to accomplish things. I don't know about you, but in the flesh, there's nothing in my mind most of the time greater than accomplishment. I simply want it to be done and done right. And sometimes to my own discredit. Right? I get that evil look from my wife when she knows I'm on that mission. And she knows it's ridiculous to continue, you know, but I'll kill myself to get it done that day before the sun goes down. Because I want to be able to sit down at night and know that I got it done. It's nothing but pride within man that drives us to those things. Now, the world would teach you that it is that zeal, it is that effort that makes us rise to the top and become the star of the show or become the leader of the company or whatever it is. None of those things matter. May I say to you today that what the enemy wants you to believe is that you can do it. But the simple truth is you cannot do it. The very best you can do will not do it. When it comes to the things that are spiritual in nature, even the things that are holy in nature, may I say to you today, you cannot do it. It's not in your flesh. It's not the nature of your flesh to be holy or righteous or to seek the things of God. It's clear in the gospel that all have forsaken God and they go their own way. They do their own thing. They live their own lives. And they do in the power and the strength of their own mind and the pride of their own heart to their own destruction.
That's right.
They pile up millions and even billions into bank accounts. And all the while, they can speak into a microphone with a humility, but I can assure you the deceit of that is preposterous, because when they stand before God, it will be the pride and the arrogance of their heart that is revealed. You see, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing in our lives is not exposed to God. He knows where we are. We have a responsibility today to be faithful to God.
Amen.
Careful that you don't find pride in faithfulness.
Yes. Come on.
We have a responsibility to do good to other people, to love one another, to forgive one another. What good was any of that if it wasn't motivated by the love of God within us? You can go and feed the poor, right? You can do everything that you could think of to win the acclaim or praise of man, or even in the most preposterous humility, you could claim to be doing it all for a reason that is unto God in demand. And yet in your heart, when you seek the praise of men, you have missed it all. The Lord said, you have your reward. If what you was looking for was a pat on the back, you get it. They'll give it to you. They'll exalt your name. They'll say you're wonderful. They'll say you've done all of this. But in the end, friend, if you're not being lifted up by God, what good was any of it? We brought ourselves to a place of deceit as a country that we're the best in the world, that we're the only one that's strong. May I say to you today, it's never been true. If there is anything good, if there is anything righteous, if there is anything holy or strong or wondrous, or it is a God, not you and me.
Amen.
This country lives in its pride and its conceit, thinking that somehow it cannot fall. Not true. Never been true. We are not impervious to attacks of foreign enemies. We are not in a position where we are unapproachable by the rest of the world. We are not in a place that we cannot fall. Our economic system is not strong enough to withstand anything that this world can deal. They're just propping it up now. All of these things, friend, we fool ourselves in believing that there's strength within man. It is not there. And so the psalmist was able in a simple way to say, I look unto the hills. What's in the hills? I don't look into the cities. I don't look into the banks. I don't look into the accolades of men. He said, I look unto the hills from which comes my help. He said, for my help comes from the Lord. Anybody troubled?
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. I heard you this morning. Because I'm buffeted too by this. I'm buffeted by this. But it reminds me of my absolute dependence on God. Because in this buffeting, I am reminded I have no control. Is that not what makes you nervous? Is that not what bothers us? Is that truly we don't have control? Truly we know it can get worse. We see it coming. Truly we know that there is trouble. There is perplexity. There is persecution. There is the casting down of the spiritual that is coming if it goes the way the world wants it to go. We see and we recognize that we do not have any control. We cannot change it. There's not one thing that any one individual personally could do within themselves that would change the situation at hand. And I can assure you, it's grave indeed. But we live in a time when we need to at least get clear in our own minds where the help must come from. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what someone says or does, regardless of governments or dominions or principalities, all of these things are subject to He who has created them all. As was shared with us this morning, they're all to Him but nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Who created dominions, who created governments, who created the powers. There's only one in control, friend. There's not two. There's not five. There's not others. There is one in control, and that is God.
Amen.
Almighty God, Yahweh, I am. Holy God is the only one that has ever been in control. It's not you. It's not me. It's not a president.
Come on.
It's not a house. It's not a senate. It's not a dictator, an authoritarian. It's not anybody but God Almighty. He's still in control.
Amen. Give a love.
He will relinquish that sovereignty to no one.
Amen.
Truth is, no one could handle it. Because we're all but flesh.
Right.
And He is God. Troubled? Yes. You see, the Apostle Paul was willing to say that the problem is not that I'm troubled. The problem is that I'm distressed. That's the rub, isn't it? Nobody was shouting on that one. The problem is not that we're troubled. You will be troubled. Paul said, I am not distressed. Now that is intriguing, right?
Amen.
That get anybody's attention? He said, I'm not distressed. No, because in verse number 7, he said, because I'm going to tell you the answer to the problem. He said, what I have, the extraordinary gift that I have, is spiritual in nature.
But it's in an earthly vessel. And God meant it that way.
Amen.
I've got a holy one coming. I've got a glorified body coming.
Amen.
But I ain't got it yet.
Yeah.
What I have in Jesus Christ dwells in an earthen vessel. For a purpose, he said. There's an extremely important purpose for God putting the most wondrous thing, the gift of all gifts, into flesh. That is, I might know and always know that it, the excellency of the power of God in me is not from me. It's from Him. And you know what He uses? To remind me every single day that I have no strength. He uses the frailty. He uses the inability of my flesh to be perfect. He uses the problems of my life. He uses the struggles of my mind. He uses all of these things to remind me that I am just the vessel. The excellency of the power must always be of God.
Amen.
Are you troubled? Yes. The question is, are you distressed? And most of us would say, yes. And we identify within our own lives the truth. And that is, I don't trust Him. Right? We sing it.
Yeah.
We talk about it. And we share the spiritual platitudes when we come to church about, oh, how I love Jesus and oh, how I trust Jesus. But the truth is, if I am distressed over the trouble, it's because I've not trusted Christ.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Paul said, I'm not distressed.
That's right. Amen.
And yet I'm just putting me and Steve in this old boat. We've been distressed, ain't we? God, forgive me.
Amen.
I'm not distressed. That's not true. I am distressed. Some of you lay awake at night distressed.
Yep.
Troubled? Yeah. Let me tell you something. You will always have trouble.
Amen.
But you know what God said about tribulation? He said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world.
Amen.
The world brings you tribulation? Yeah, he said, don't worry about that. He said, I've overcome the world.
Amen.
I've brought you peace. I've brought you things that are lasting and eternal in value.
Yeah.
I've brought you things that'll sustain your very mortal flesh.
Yeah.
That'll give you hope when there's no hope in the world. I'm giving you something that goes far beyond the realm of man, but it goes into the divine and the godly that He has placed into my heart.
Right.
Troubled? Yeah. Paul said, I'm not distressed. Then he said, perplexed. Indeed. I can tell you right now, it's the most perplexing time I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I simply don't know. People ask me, I don't know. Number one, I don't know what He's going to do. I know He's in charge, but I don't know what He's going to do. I know what I'm praying, but I don't know what He's going to do. It's perplexing. It's perplexing. But does it cause us to despair? It does. Be honest now. Some of you mentally are at your wit's end. And you know why? It's not because it's perplexing. It's because you have despaired that it will get better. You've despaired Because you've not truly trusted him. I'm going to make a prediction, Ray. If the political scenario continues as it is and it works out that way, some of you will be ready to jump out of a window. That's despair. And yet what we find in his word over and over and over is multiple examples of how God, even in circumstances when the one political party they wanted to be there wasn't there, God was still God.
Amen.
Never left them. Never forsook them. And in everything that God did, ultimately he had a purpose and a plan that was divine. And in every way it was perfect.
Amen.
We have example after example after example. And yet we sit here in distress and despair because we have not trusted God. Persecuted? That one may mean to us more later, but let me say it right now. If you're being persecuted or if you get persecuted, you will never be forsaken.
Amen.
Let me share with you the most incredible story of Peter and James and John having stood before the Sanhedrin, before the hypocritical high priest, and been smitten and forced to say to them that you will not go preach this no more. And they looked at him and said, hey, if you think it's better to serve you than God, go ahead. But we know what we know. We're going to serve God.
Amen.
And the Bible said they beat him anyhow. And when they left that place, you know what they were doing? Some of you are shaking your head and say, how in the world? Well, the reason you don't understand what's going on is because you've never been persecuted.
Yeah.
You've never been beaten for the namesake of Jesus Christ. You've not resisted yet unto blood. When you get to that place, there will be a power that is greater than your cup. The Holy Spirit will always be true.
Amen.
Persecuted, the Apostle Paul had something to say about that, didn't he? Three times beaten or five times, 39 stripes, save one. Beaten with rods, left for dead, left in a shipwreck, twice in the sea, hungry, cold, naked. He had been persecuted.
Yeah,
and yet he said, but not forsaken. Persecuted. He said, they had to lower me out in a basket out a window of the wall one time because the whole city was after me. Persecuted, yet, but forsaken? Come on, no, I'm not that. Left for dead after being stoned.
Yeah.
And he gets up with 1,000 bruises on his body. It says persecuted? Yeah. Every part of his body was bruised. Persecuted. Yeah, I can't hardly walk. But forsaken? No, never. As a matter of fact, where are we going next? See, most of us don't even comprehend this level of spiritual life. We can't even get through the trouble or the perplexity without distress or despair, much less persecuted.
Yeah.
Cast down. Cast down. Rejected by the culture as a whole that we know. Cast down. Yeah, probably. And if it ain't yet, it's coming. But what did he say? But not destroyed. Right? You're acting like cast down is like the end of the world. Cast down, yeah.
Not destroyed.
Wait a minute. They killed that. You think that was destroyed?
Come on. Amen.
No. Stephen wasn't destroyed. Not at all. As a matter of fact, even before his life expired in the flesh, he was looking right into the portals. He saw him stand up. You know why he was standing there? Well, Stephen must have been extraordinary. He promised to do that for me. I hope I hit the nerve of every person here. Distressed. We've got to be honest. Some of us have let some of the things going on, whether it be COVID or an election or whatever it is going on in your life, you have been troubled. That's not the problem. You will be troubled in this life. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have perplexity. You're going to have persecution. You're going to be cast down. Those are not the problems. The problem is that we're in distress and we're despairing. We think we're forsaken. God ain't hearing me. Destroyed? No, never. The Apostle Paul said, no, give it no other thought. Not ever. Will my king fail to be king? Never will he not be in control. Never will he not be fully the Lord of all creation. Never, 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 no, never destroyed. He went on in the same book to letter to say this. He said, there was a time, he said, that I saw things that couldn't be uttered. And he said, lest I be exalted in those many visions and revelations, he said, God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, for this thing, he said, I asked the Lord three times to take it away from me. And he said, you know what he told me? He said, no. You must suffer. It's important. Because in that weakness, I am made strong. Who's made? In your weakness. God is made strong. Yeah. No, he said, Paul, don't despair. Don't be in distress over this answer. Don't be discouraged or disillusioned. Don't be forsaken or destroyed. No, he said, my grace will be sufficient for you. Let me believe that one.
Yeah.
Nod in your head. But that nod should be dispelling the distress and the despair and the forsakenness and the destroying thought that you've got that we're all doomed. No, Paul, he said, hear me. I'm not going to pull that away from you because it's important. What you've seen, you can't handle. You would live in a conceited and proud condition having seen what you saw. No, he said, for the sake of something far greater, he said, you'll keep suffering because that suffering will bring you to me. That suffering will keep you low. That weakness that you experience, that weakness you think is hindering you, is the very thing that I'm going to use to prove that I am strong. But my grace will be good. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to forsake you. You don't need to be in despair or distress. My grace. My grace will be there. How many believe that the grace will lead us safely home? Right? We believe it opened our blinded eyes, right? We believe it set our heart. We believe it brought us salvation. But grace will lead me home. Come get us home. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God might be clearly shown that it's not in us. It's in Him. It's in Him. There's a message the world needs today, especially the Christians. The Christians of this world need to recognize that we are not to be in despair, in distress, thinking we have been forsaken or that we are destroyed. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, it just goes on and on, don't, but I'm going to hush. What do you say, Romans 8:31? If God be for us, do you believe that? Your distress don't indicate that. Your despair don't say that. Your head's saying that. Your heart's not saying that. Do we really trust God? The proof is in how we live. We live in distress, in despair, forsakenness, destroyed. Don't matter. Eh? We're all goners anyhow. Right? Never, ever have I been forsaken. Never. His grace has always been sufficient. Lift your head up. Paul said in the very two verses that we started with in this, but he said, for these reasons I faint not. Not going to faint. Are you going to faint? I'm not going to faint because I'm not forsaken. You don't have to sing. It just hit me all of a sudden. I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me I say, give me Jesus. He saved my dying soul. And so we sing, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. That is not distressed. That is not in despair. That is not sung, forsaken, or destroyed. That song is in victory because in Him is the excellency of the power. Amen. In Him. And He will not fail. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you think, He is in control. Stand as we sing. You need Him today. The altar's open. We'll give you a verse of invitation. Just come on. If you need the Lord, come to Him.